We also remain focused on other threats. In less than 2 months, of course, Americans will exercise one of their most cherished rights to vote in a free and fair election. Americans must have confidence in our voting system and our election infrastructure. That's why the security of our elections is and will continue to be one of our highest priorities. We will not tolerate foreign interference in our elections.
That's FBI Director Wray today talking to Congress. I hope we're able to stop them. That's the whole thing. Can we stop the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians and the North Koreans and the 400-pound guy sitting on his bed who just wants to jerk around the world?
Yeah, well, we can stop them to some extent. We got to try as hard as we can. And as we've been discussing, put together a bipartisan panel on making sure there isn't ugliness and chaos.
Yeah.
Coming out of the election.
He went on to get into a question and answer about Antifa and mobs in the street and that sort of thing. So this goes on for a long time. I don't know how much of this we'll listen to, but let's give it a whirl.
What organizations propose the greatest threat from a domestic standpoint here to the homeland? Is it right-wing extremists, or is it left-wing, or what does your reports reflect?
Mr. Chairman, we assess that the greatest threat to the homeland, to us here domestically, is not one organization, certainly not one ideology, but rather lone actors, largely self-radicalized online, who pursue soft targets using readily accessible weapons. And those include both domestic violent extremists of a variety of sorts, as well as homegrown violent extremists who are motivated by foreign, you know, jihadist-type sources. Those two categories as a whole provide the greatest challenge and threat to us here at home, partly because, and you've often heard the expression in the past, the importance of connecting the dots. Well, if you compare the threat I just described to the sort of Al-Qaeda sleeper cells of old, that group, the sleeper cells, you've got a group of people colluding, conspiring, fundraising, planning, preparing, communicating. So there's a lot of dots out there to connect if the intelligence community and law enforcement know where to connect, and it usually occurs over a long period of time. These people, both categories, the domestic violent extremists and the homegrown violent extremists, they don't have a lot of people they're working with.
The civil authorities have issued an immediate evacuation for Plumas, CA, beginning at 9:09 a.m. and ending at 12:09 p.m. This is a mandatory evacuation notice for Meadow Valley due to a wildfire. You should leave the area immediately. If you remain, emergency personnel may not be able to help you. An evacuation center is set up at the Springs of Hope Church at 59 Bell Lane, Quincy.
Kind of people, I mean.
Right, yeah. We just droned the bejesus out of some Al-Shabaab guys in Kenya. They're based out of Somalia, I guess, but they cross the borders and do commit horrific acts. But anyway,
The FBI is trying to stop a big giant attack where a whole bunch of people get killed, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't speak to the, you know, people marching down the street smashing out windows and all that sort of stuff.
Right,
that will have a huge effect politically on the country.
You know, I meant to look up the actual article in Axios because I hadn't read it, but I heard it referenced that the recent rioting and smashings was the most expensive insurance event ever of its sort.
I don't doubt it.
$2 billion in damages from the riots.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Those businesses are insured. Say stupid soch majors without a clue in how business works.
Hey, we got this text. Joe was talking earlier about the enthusiasm gap between Trump and Biden, and I thought this article in the New York Times was interesting. Does Biden need a higher gear? Some Democrats think so.
Watch me.
Well, that higher sounds like than a high gear. Yeah, well, more
what
than.
What do you want?
It's like Richard Simmons. Well, that's a better, more recent example of a really hyped up, amplified, energetic person. There's got to be one. My reference is 30 years old. That's no good. Come on, give me somebody who's energetic.
Kinetic human
who's
being.
Energetic, Sean?
No, don't look at me.
High energy, like high energy, energy. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, there you go.
Nah.
Does Biden need a higher gear? As President Trump's campaign barrels ahead with crowded rallies and in-person door knocking, some Democrat officials in battleground states are warning that Joe Biden may not be doing enough to excite voters.
Wake up. Thank you.
Again, what are you talking about?
Oh, boy, that's funny.
Listen, and we talked about this a bit earlier, so if you've listened to the whole show, I appreciate that very much, but I'm just going to repeat myself in saying this. As a guy who struggles with Trump, I believe the enthusiasm gap to be vast. I mean vast. People are vibrating out of their skins to vote for Trump. Now, it's a question of, you know, are there enough? The people who've gotten sick of him, how many are that? How many people have come over in his direction? I'm not sure. But among those who do intend to vote for Trump, their energy is 10 to 1 over probable Biden voters. Well, I mean, look at the boat parades. Look at the there was a parade of cars in Laredo, Texas. What did I say? 2,000 cars? 4,000 people, they figured. 2,000 cars.
We got this text. This is why I brought this up. We went to the Trump rally in Minden, Nevada on Saturday. He filled an area the size of almost two football fields, not shoved shoulder to shoulder, but comfortable spacing. There were many that could not be let in. When we left, we realized the amount of cars parked along 395, literally parked for 3 miles on either side of the highway. Wow. First-hand experience. Yes, Joe, Trump support has grown huge. You know, like I said earlier, Ron Paul used to get very, very enthusiastic crowds. Bernie Sanders has gotten very, very enthusiastic crowds.
Yep.
And couldn't get over.
Yeah, it's not proof, it's just a sign.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it's an interesting question, an open question, and there's a reason the New York Times wrote that article today. Can you win on just, yeah, but I hate the other guy? Is that enough versus, like, real excitement for the candidate? I don't know, we'll see. It's all about bulk. Do you have enough people, and do they turn out and vote?
There are moments, I think, this is an insane time to be alive. This stuff is so ugly. And then there are moments I think, I can't wait to see how some of this plays out.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. It's a bit of a train wreck curiosity. But, man, I'm giddy for that debate.
Oh, yeah.
I can't decide whether to do what I almost always do, which is watch it alone in silence so I don't miss anything, or if I ought to invite some friends over. Have a debate viewing party.
I don't know if that's the best way to approach it, but whatever.
For the purposes of our job, you mean?
I just know I wouldn't be able to pay attention the way I want to.
Yeah, I want to see how things play. I'm self-aware enough to know that I'm a news geek and a politics geek. We've lost our normal guy card when it comes to taking this stuff in. And I'm just kind of curious to see how it plays to other people.
I don't think any of the policy stuff is really going to matter. I think it's going to be 100% about, does Joe Biden come off with a guy who's with it enough to be president or not? There'll be arguments at the end in the echo chamber and all the cable news channels of Trump said this or Biden said that and fact check this. I just don't think that's going to matter.
Well, I think you're right, but I think you may be exaggerating a little bit in that I think Trump could really land some heavy blows on his policies will ruin the economy. They will put you out of work. These businesses that are closed now will be closed forever, and you'll see massive unemployment. I think he can land some blows on the economy. The foreign policy stuff, the China stuff, maybe a little effect.
And he's got to, I'm sure there's no coaching Trump. I doubt he takes any advice on these things. Does he even do any mock debates?
Yeah, I'll bet he does some. Surely Jared will get in his ear.
Biden said the other day he hasn't. No, he said that yesterday.
Been reading up.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Although he's done a million debates in his life.
I tell you what, if old man Biden comes out, and he, you know, stammers and loses his place and is clearly having a bad night in terms of dealing with his cognitive issues, Trump can spend the rest of the night just fiddling with his overly long tie. It won't matter. It'll be over.
Raising their prices on prescription drugs.
He can just fiddle with his overly long tie.
It'll be like Mike Tyson racing across the ring and punching a guy once, and the guy goes to pieces. It'll be over.
With no crowd, it's going to feel kind of weird. The question for Trump is, if Biden has a moment, do you just let it hang there and move on? Do you point it out? Do you make a joke?
I think what he does is he makes a face. He pulls a face, as they say.
Pulls a face.
Biden obviously goes sideways. He's rambling. He can't catch his train of thought. He has a senior moment.
If he does the whole listen to the record players,
right.
You know, the
Trump will just raise his eyebrows and give him
the. Or does Trump say, "Did you understand any of that? I didn't understand any of that.
What are you talking about?"
I don't know. I don't know how I would handle it, but
yeah, you don't want to be Julian Castro.
No, you don't want to do too much. And you know,
he ended his political career by just being a D.
And older voters might not, you know, like joking about the decline, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's a scary thing, and it's a tragedy for a lot of families, so you got to be careful.
Of course, it depends on how funny the thing was, he said. If he gets into the record player stuff, what record players?
Do we
players?
Still have that record player
record
screen?
Record players, what are you talking about?
Somewhere.
Yeah, we should dig that up.
Come on,
let's
Sean.
Let's dig that
you're
up.
You're leaning back in your chair like it's Sunday morning.
I'm looking at the clock, I guess.
Oh, gosh, we are running late.
Yeah, we'll have that when we come back. It'll be a throwback Thursday.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I can feel it in the future. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds go to school, not daycare, school. We bring social workers into homes and parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help, they don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there. There's
Thank
so
you, Mr.
much.
Vice
we, no, I'm going to go like the rest of them do.
As recall,
no, the rest of them don't go like that.
And as recall, there is another reference in there or two that weren't related to anything.
Didn't we end up in Venezuela at
one
point?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, did I grab a wrong record? Did he go on different record
No, that was it.
Okay,
I think there was... He just declared he was going to go on. He went on something about Venezuela.
Yeah, but anyway, the question being, and I think it's a serious one, how does Trump respond to one of those, if one of those happens?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Mm. I've heard that Trump's numbers are really down among older Americans.
Yep. And, up among Hispanics, but down among older Americans.
And if he were to play that card too harshly, I think you'd see even more of a drop. But who knows? Who knows? We both have older relatives who've said 77 is too old.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see how it breaks. Speaking of age, there are a number of you listening now or via podcast a little bit later on who remember the day that I, Joe, announced the birth of my daughter, Delaney May. Called from the hospital and the rest of it. That was, here's the punchline. Brace yourselves now. She turns 21 today.
Yeah. Is that supposed to make me feel better? Or?
I'm stunned myself, and I've watched it. I've lived with her.
She finally gets to have an alcoholic beverage.
Oh,
yes.
Must be exciting.
Isn't that fabulous? Actually, she is going to school in the Washington, D.C. area, and it is a tradition, I guess, if you live in Virginia and you turn 21. They have one of those weird in Virginia.
To put on blackface. Is in Virginia the state where they do that?
Don't even start that rumor. She just landed a great opportunity. I'm super happy for her, but... I don't brag about my kids really ever, partly because I'm acutely aware that some kids get dealt a great hand neurologically, psychologically, the rest of it. And some kids don't. And they will struggle their whole lives, including one of my kids. But she's doing terrific. And she's the only bragging I do is all three of my kids are really good human beings. And I'm super proud of that. But having said that, it's a tradition in Virginia, I guess, because they're one of those states with the ridiculous, you can only buy liquor at a government-run something or other.
Right.
And they all have...
Blue laws, they call them for some reason.
Yeah, and they all have the sign. Let me see if I can find it. Well, it says, if your ID says you were born after blank, 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 in her case, September 17th, 1999, you cannot buy liquor. And the tradition is you pick that sign up, you have a bottle in your other hand, and your friend takes a picture of you.
That's cool.
The day you turn 21.
I get it.
And the other curious thing is that, and she texted me that picture yesterday on September the 16th. And I said, soft on crime, law and order, here a day early. And she says no, and she sent me along the actual statute. Virginia law states that you turn the next year the day before your birthday. What? I know.
Because you've spent 365 days.
Yes, presume. Well, no, not until, if you were born at 1201, you wouldn't be 365 full days older until midnight.
But this is your 365th day, so granted, that's a year.
Right. It's okay. Like the whole idiotic wins the first year of the millennium thing.
Right. I celebrated it 2001.
But so anyway, she could buy a...
that's how math works.
Yeah.
She can buy a bottle yesterday, and so sent me a picture of that. Interesting. Charming.
How did she find intoxication?
Intoxicating, naturally.
Pleasant. Stress-relieving.
I've always thought it was kind of cool... I think, to have been born in 1999, because in God willing, she'll live to a ripe old age. She'll be born in the last century.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that was, I don't know, just novel, I guess. But anyway, yep, there you go. That was 21 years ago, those of you who are listening. Yeah.
When I started on the show, she was one.
See, none of this is good news.
Well, at least we're not dead.
She's still at the age where getting a year older is a good thing. She's rapidly approaching where it reverses, and it no longer is ever a good thing again to turn a year older, other than the whole it's good to be alive.
Yeah, she's getting into a field where definitely being experienced, sophisticated, knowledgeable is a good thing. So, yeah, she's still in that period of, okay, now I'm soon it'll be now I'm 23. I'm not a rank 21-year-old. But, yeah, that page will turn.
It was 25 for me. Ever since then, I've hated getting older.
Really?
How about you?
I'd have to think about it.
Well, maybe you should think about it.
All right.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show. I'm in the crowd
full of angels and demons. Tell the business people what the rules are. And then let them try to adapt their business to that, and you'll have ingenuity, and people will at least have the freedom to try to earn a living. But putting a national lockdown, stay-at-home orders is like house arrest. It's other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history.
So, okay, that all made perfectly good sense to me. I just thought that was agree or disagree, an intelligent conversation we're starting right there.
Unquestionably a restriction of our civil liberties, yeah, of course.
They went crazy on the Trump-hating cable news channels, and we're just mocking that. Well, we got this text. Oh, my God, I got whiplash listening to your discussion of Barr's interview with your views on it, then your station, and I don't know which station they were listening to, said they immediately went to CBS News and started with Attorney General Barr compares lockdown to slavery as the lead. Just as you described the media's take on it. That's it's just being disingenuous to act like that's something. All right, whatever.
Yeah, it really is, and it's disappointing. Sorry, we're not responsible for the news runs perhaps at the top of the hour on your local station. Some of it's garbage.
The ultimate point of what he was saying is that this is a big, big deal, unprecedented level big deal of taking away your freedom. Just like way over the top, and let's discuss this.
Right.
A new poll out finds there's a split by race and income on how worried you are about the coronavirus, which I thought was kind of interesting. I'm not sure I can exactly explain. Now, this is just a poll in California. I'm not sure how much different it would be for the rest of the country, though.
Depending where you're asking, probably fairly significantly, but
I don't know. I have no idea when you break it down by race and stuff. But anyway, 28% of California adults overall are very concerned that they will be hospitalized because of the coronavirus. 28%. How much
are very concerned?
How much do you shut down business when only 28% are very concerned?
Well, they could alter their own behavior.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You could control that yourself if you're very concerned. I'm not going to go out of my house. I'm going to wear a mask everywhere I go. And that really lowers my likelihood.
Yeah, I've tailored my activities to my level of concern.
The number goes up to 34% among those in households making less than $40,000 a year. It's at almost half for African Americans, 40% for Latinos. By contrast, only 17% of people in households making 80 grand or more are very concerned.
Hmm.
I'm not very concerned, by the way.
No, and I will grant you that we have the sort of job where we work with a small group of people. We have the option of doing it remotely and, you know, laborers and folks at the lower end of the scale don't have that opportunity.
But I thought this was kind of interesting. California is one of your more shut down areas in the entire country and has been, geez, since March.
To the point of absurdity.
The personal concerns are mirrored in people's opinions about restrictions on public activity to control the virus. Only 34% of all California adults want tougher rules than state or local government now require.
Good.
Number goes up a little bit based on the stuff we were breaking down a little bit ago. I'm going to get to the number I'm finding here. Oh. But less than half of people think they've got it about right. And leave even smaller number seem to think they need to be tougher. Well, do you have this much of the economy shut down with those numbers? God, I would think you need to have like 75% of people are very concerned and think, you know, things need to be shut down before you would actually do it.
No, our brave overlords know better.
And even then, I'm not sure you should have the power to do it.
Your state and county health director have all the power. They know what's good for you, and you will obey.
Wow, that is really something.
Yeah. And again, you know, I hate to overmake the point, but those realities are not reflected in the least in media accounts of what's going on.
No.
The debate over policy. Any county that says, hey, look, we don't have an emergency here. We're opening up. Any city is portrayed as just a rogue, as lunatics, as it's like Somalia. It's a law. It's a failed state.
Right.
My God, County X wants to open up again. What? Why is Siri talking to me?
Your phone is talking to you.
You said city, and your phone heard Siri because your phone is always listening and smiling.
Okay, let's see.
I don't have mine on to listen like that.
I found this on the web for. Is for traitors just a role as a lunatic?
So,
thanks, smartphone.
That's not what I said, dumb phone.
So I don't have Siri on my phone. Is my phone still listening? And what is it doing with the information?
Probably.
Sending it to China.
Sending it to China.
We tied, Michael. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Different topic, but I was listening to a conversation yesterday about how we're all willingly giving all our information to these companies, Google and whatnot. In China, they just take it. The government just takes it, but we willingly give it over to Google and Facebook and all the companies that are keeping track of all this sort of stuff. And they said, what happens if we ever have another 9/11 type situation? How easy would it be for the government to go to Google and say, you know, we need all the data? And the public would go along with it.
Yeah.
You know, if we're told, you know, there are sleeper cells in the country. This is going to help us find them. I could easily see a majority of the, if they gave us a choice, I'm not sure they would even tell us. They probably would just secretly go to Google and say, we need the information. And Google would say, okay.
Give me a list of everybody who pulled through the departures terminal at Logan Airport in Boston. Everybody who drove past there today.
I don't know. If they're worried about sleeper cells around the country, they'd get a heck of a lot more information than that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about 9/11 specifically. Yeah. And honestly, given the horrors of the day and our visceral dislike of murderous fundamentalist Islam maniacs, there's part of me that think, good, yeah, figure out who's involved. Do it now. Yeah, we'd have that impulse. We'd give away all of our civil liberties.
Oh, yeah, and then once that's done, that's never coming back.
No.
You've turned all that information over from that Google's got everything on you. Oof. Do you have one of those? There's a couple of different companies that do this. Is it a program or is it I'm picturing like a filter.
You got to change it once a month or it gets clogged.
Like a water filter.
To tell you who's watching and giving your data to
to mask all your stuff that goes to your internet router. Because no matter what you do on your, what I'm told, I don't know if any of this is true or not, but they claim that anything you've got on your end is not good enough to hide from your internet provider. They still have all that information of everything you do, everybody you talk to, every site you go to.
Good Lord.
They just, you know, they're not giving it, but they've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's the situation of at what point does some FBI agent who thinks you talk to a Russian get a warrant to where they can look at all that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have one of those software things?
No, I'm Joe Average. I just
every time I hear an ad for one, I think I should get one, but I never get around to it. And I don't know what they cost. And I don't know how effective they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like it'd be a good idea, though. Why would you want your information going out if you can avoid it?
Can I just make a public statement? I look at news sites all day long. Occasionally I gamble, and I kind of like porn. There you go. It's out there.
A public statement.
What else is there?
I
look at real estate a lot online. There you go. Now try to blackmail me. I suppose you could go with, you know, what particular subgenre of erotica are you a fan of? If you're a furry or something, people might, you know, you might be able to blackmail a guy with that. I'm not. Anyway, where were we?
Women and cat ears. Okay, whatever.
I don't know. I had a cat as a kid. I can't explain it. It's deep in my psychology.
Well, at the time I was 13, we had a cat. I don't know. My wires got crossed somehow. I don't know what happened.
Oh, man, I almost redid a bit that a comedian had that we saw years and years ago, but it's too politically incorrect for these troubled days.
Absolutely.
Oh, who wants to get canceled? Canceled! Multiple U.S. states are trying to break up, trying to divide themselves. We'll provide you with that short list.
Are they going to secede?
No, they're going to secede from themselves.
What?
They're going to divide in half. They're going to split. Splitsville, Daddy. Why the blank look?
Just trying to understand what you're saying. Okay, all that's on the way.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Well, maybe just since we played it yesterday, roughly this time, we can just summarize what the CDC chief said, Redfield. He said he thinks masks are more effective than a vaccine.
Yeah. At the time, I thought, what are you talking about? That's an odd thing to say. I think I knew what his point was.
He's got a chin beard.
He looks like a Who from Whoville. He looks like he ought to be linked arms around the Christmas tree singing, "Wahoo, Doraemon," and eating the roast beast.
As much as I like the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I've never been a fan of the beard without mustache.
Mm.
Just not a look I enjoy.
No.
And that's so probably beside the point here.
This round-headed guy, he's a looking duck. That's really immaterial now that I think about it.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, he said, honestly, masks are more effective. I think he meant now. For now, don't count on the vaccine. Put on masks.
And so Trump responded to that. So we're going with 34, I guess. Trump responded to that when he was taking his questions, as Trump does every day, takes questions.
President, the director of the CDC also testified today that a mask, in his estimation, is guaranteed to protect the American public more from the coronavirus than a vaccine. You have, as detailed, poured a lot of resources into a vaccine development. Why not devote your
energy? And to masks.
Why not devote your energy now to a campaign to have all Americans wear a mask, something that, if more effective than a vaccine, would also help the schools and the economy?
Okay, number one, is not more effective by any means than a vaccine, and I called him about that. Those were the two things I discussed with him. And I believe that if you ask him, he would probably say that he didn't understand the question, because I said to him, I asked him those two questions, the one question which we covered and the mask question. No, vaccine is much more effective than the mask.
Yeah, that was just an odd thing to say, the CDC geek.
Currently, only 34% of Americans say they will take the vaccine, the government-approved vaccine, when it comes out. Only 34%.
Well, I've become aware recently in blue circles on MSNBC and CNN, Nancy Pelosi is trying to suggest that Trump is rushing this through for his own benefit, and it might be unsafe.
Well, yeah, Kamala Harris has said that. Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to say. Hmm. Oh, yeah, because the pharmaceutical companies are going to put out a dangerous vaccine.
Right, you'd have to have a hell of a lot of people involved in this scam.
Right.
That would keep their mouths shut.
Oh, yeah. Completely in opposition to their own self-interest.
Right.
They would be throwing a grenade into their own foxhole. So, yeah, it's a ridiculous notion. Yeah, I'm not worried about it at all. When it gets approved, I'll take it.
Okay.
I know.
Just enjoy your mark of the beast, dude.
Didn't see that one coming. Was not prepared to dodge that bullet.
Nah, I don't know. I don't usually get the flu shot, but I suppose I'd get this. Yeah,
I'm thinking I'll get the flu shot. I don't know. I get it some years, I don't get it some years, and I haven't gotten the flu as far as I know, but I don't know.
I don't have the policy on it. If I happen to be around where they're giving one, I'll get it. If I'm not, I don't.
Yeah.
It's about how much thought I put into it.
Very conscientious. So New York wants to split up. There are a bunch of lawmakers in New York who've said, and this will sound familiar to Californians, the upstate area, mostly rural, mountainous, small towns, the rest of it, we don't know what the hell you're doing. And the state legislature is completely dominated by New York City.
Yeah, I got to admit, my entire New York State experience had been New York City for a long time. And I'd been to New York City, I don't know how many times, 20 times. And then one time I drove to Buffalo. And that's where I tripped on the gas hose and fell down and knocked myself out. But I drove to Buffalo and thought, this is the same state. I mean, because it was like driving through, you know, the Midwest I'm from. Just, you know, small towns, farmland. I mean, nothing. And it was just mind-blowing to me. This is the same state as New York City. And obviously, New York City dominates the politics.
Right, yeah. I had family in Rochester for a while and had a number of very pleasant visits there. But it's the whole densely populated urban areas controlling legislatures. And because there are now more and more and more laws and more regulations and every aspect of our lives has to be run by the government, I mean, it's become really objectionable to people who aren't in those densely populated urban areas. And I don't understand why more people don't recognize the great urban, not urban divide in terms of legislation.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to concede, look, if you're in a really densely populated area, you probably need rules and regs to keep, you know, people from ruining your quality of life. And, you know, if you think you do and you want to vote them on yourselves, who am I to tell you not to? The problem is, frequently, those areas are filled with do-gooders who also think it's their duty to run everybody else's lives, and they're too either thick-headed or proud or whatever to admit that, no, people in, for instance, Eastern Washington have lives that are nothing like Seattle. Nothing. Or, you know, there are a dozen other examples.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But politics is so dumb right now. People will not talk about the things that they ought to be talking about.
It's interesting that we just stick with the state boundaries that were drawn hundreds of years ago just because of inertia, I guess, and it'd be so difficult to not, because they don't make a lot of sense.
No. Nope.
Final Thoughts with Armstrong and Getty are brought to you today by two ominous notes. Separated by 6 octaves.
Wow.
Here's your host, Joe Getty.
That amused me. Hey, let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew. Michelangelo presses the buttons in the control room. Michael, final thought?
Yeah, September 17th, Delaney Getty's birthday, which means it's only 69 days to Thanksgiving, 98 days to Christmas, and 35 days to October 22nd. Time flies.
Thank you, Michael. Positive Sean, our producer, with a final thought.
I'm under no presumption that any of those holidays are going to be allowed to exist. They may all be canceled, just like Halloween.
Oh, boy.
What does that even mean? Jack, a final thought for the folks?
They surveyed Americans, name one First Amendment right. Almost 40% of Americans could name none.
Well, we're through here.
You shouldn't vote.
No.
You can't come up with one.
No.
You never heard of freedom of speech.
You probably ought to be, like, catapulted out of the country.
That's the one about quartering soldiers?
No.
Sure
no,
it is.
It's not.
The First Amendment. That's it.
Catapulted out of the country.
Great Scott. We need to do that again tomorrow. Anyway, my final thought is the guy who pooped on Nancy Pelosi's driveway has been arrested. America is safe once again. Now, there are thousands of other people taking poops in the streets in San Francisco, and they are still at large, but that one guy had to get arrested.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting. I mean, if you've spent any time walking around SF, the idea that anyone would get arrested because that would, like, be an outlier is just pretty hilarious.
Well, the S doesn't stand for San anymore.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fantastic. Catapult them out of the country.
That's what I'm saying.
Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
We strongly suggest ye visit armstrongandgetty.com, where we have our extra-large podcast with Michael Savage. We have the Pelosi Poopers political commentary, also the video of all the newscasters and Democratic politicians calling for violence.
Ooh,
all sorts of good stuff.
So tomorrow's Friday. That's the day we fire up the daiquiri machine and drink the whole show. So that's always
buddy.
A good time.
Yep, yep. Oh, around noon Pacific today, too, we'll post another One More Thing podcast, brand new one.
Yeah. If you went to the armstrongandgetty.com website every single day, I think you'd your life would be better for it.
Oh, clearly.
See you tomorrow. God bless America.
You having a good time?
Okay, I did not say that.
I've sat here for over 3 hours and 15 minutes.
That sucks.
If you wish to leave, you may.
Let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing.
Not good.
And just change the channel from this mesmerizing horror show.
We'll be better tomorrow than we were today.
Then we heard the words,
"It's over for me."
Adios, mofo.
Okay, so we're dismissed. Is that correct?
Do you want to rephrase what you're doing?